I don't care.
Friday, September
7th,
2007.
Or use this.
How would you pause it? Where one were to pause it?
So this turns it on if once the screen goes off, right? And then just turn the screen on, right? And then push the same button again, and it'll you'll see the number flashing. That means it's paused. And then, you push it again, it'll start to go. Yeah, exactly.
Learn another quarter from the string. Huh? Won't that do that?
Okay. So, let's see if we can try to clarify this idea of Hamelech HaMishpat a little further. Interesting ritva in the very end of Rosh Hashanah. So, the ritva says, it's the very last piece in Rosh Hashanah. Wow. Impressive. The guy seen him appear to come with the brachas. The aseres yomim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim. Omer ha-melech ha-kadosh v'ha-melech ha-mishpat. V'im omer ha-melech ha-kadosh lo yotza. Ki the posak rifzal. V'hu ha-nachon v'arav v'bein yonazal ha yasover she'enu chozer ele b'she omer ha-kel ha-kadosh ha-kel ha-mishpat. Aval im omer melech o'ev tzedakot mishpat k'mo she'onu nogim ha-yom yotza. Kevin shizgir malchus. Okay, so that's the Rabbeinu Yonah that like we're knowing today. That as long as you say Melech Oyv Tzedakah Mishpat, you yotze, because he said Malchus. Aval Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah Rabbeinu Agadol Zal Kasu Mishmosh Afilu Omar Melech Oyv Tzedakah Mishpat Yesh Lachzor. But the Talmidim of I guess he means the Rif wrote in his name that that's not true. That even if you said Melech Oyv Tzedakah Mishpat, you still have to go back. This is a well known to those who understand the sod of the matter. Why do you say Hamelech HaMishpat? Shenir Kiloshon Mishubash. Sounds like a Mishubash Lashon because the two A's. Hamelech HaMishpat. Hu Mosuk Leroe HaShemesh. Even though it sounds Mishubash, it's sweet to the ones who see the sun. Vim hu safek b'yadu chos. Okay. Yeah. So...
what does Mishubash mean?
Messed up. Yeah. Interesting ritva. So he's saying that there's a sod over here. There's a sod to the phrase Hamelech HaMishpat. And although it sounds Mishubash, that's why Rashi tries to say it just means Melech HaMishpat. Like, Ha'aron Habris. Ha'aron Habris. Right, the two Hays. What are the two Hays? Yeah. So it's a little daunting, I mean, right? You see something like that. A little daunting. But I was thinking about it before I saw this riff, I was thinking about it. And let's see if we can understand it a little bit more. I'm going based on this on the Sefer Yikarim. I know we had a misadventure in the Sefer Yikarim, but the second Maamar is really the place to be. You see, first Maamar is different. It's a different topic. It's like we started that one year, the first Maamar, but it's a different kind of a topic. It's like how things should be ordered. Yeah, how things should be ordered. But in the second Maamar, he gets into the ideas, more of what the ideas are.
What? Is that what we're doing Tuesday night this year?
I don't know. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. So he says like this. In the, you have to be, you know, you have to go selectively here. It's in the, it's in Perek Chof Beis. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but starting from Perek Chof Beis in the second book. So he says like this. Call Balei Ha'iyan HaFilosofi, all the philosophical investigators know that you can't ascribe to L'Hashem Yisborach, can't ascribe to God Shum Tawar, any description. Lo Atzmi V'lo Mikri, Mitzad Atzmo B'Shum Tzad. You can't ever describe God Mitzad Atzmo, from himself. Like, to know something directly, right? We can't understand that. We only can go mitzad pu'ulosov bilvad. Right? That's an ikker. That God is unlike anything that we know, and therefore we can't understand him in our frame of reference. I mean, in order to understand things, you have to start with a frame of reference. You have to say, it's like something I know. You always have to start with what you know, and then expand your knowledge by comparison, by analogy. But
the first thing that you know.
The senses from this world, right? I mean, we see things from the senses, and I can describe something that you've never seen. I say it's like something else you've seen, right?
I went that has to refer back to something else you can compare it to, right?
Absolutely. But
so eventually, it's got to go back to something. But what is that one thing you?
I say I saw a guy who looked just like Yitzi Roth. That would work for you, right?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
So, but if you never saw Yitzi, you wouldn't make any sense to you.
No, but everything, each one of those has to relate back to something else you've done before.
No, right. All I need is to see Yitzi once. That's it. I'm done. Now,
beginning of
all. Right? I didn't say you're done. Now I have him as a frame of reference, and I can describe someone else that looks like him. Right? Okay. But we say about God that he has no comparisons at all. So you can't get to that kind of, that's like ufonai lo yiro. It's like, that's like the seeing the face. Alright, as the Rambam explains. The difference between seeing the back and seeing the face. So we can't get that type of absolute knowledge of God, like an object that we can perceive and study. We're not capable of that kind of a thing. Okay? That's not possible. So you can't really give any descriptions that go to God's essence. Okay? Josh, you with us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everything has to be in terms of God's actions. And he says, if you want to look into this further, he explains more in the ninth parak. Okay, and then the Rambam says that anybody who tries to give what they translate, I think they translate, they call it in the Mora, essential attributes, right? Like an essential attribute. He says that is just making a mistake. He's making a mistake. He's trying to find the mean between yes and no. Like, you can't do such a thing. It's just not possible. Yeah, I think the Rambam says unconsciously. It's like unconsciously he's a kofa, something like that, right? Yeah, something like that. But anyway. So that's why the Rambam went his way of saying you can never get any positive thing, but it has to be negation. Okay, because we can't know positively about God, so we have to go to negation. Negation. So what does it mean? All the descriptions, shekola ta'orim ha'sholim tzodkim olav, those are good. The negations are good. V'i efshar sheyitzdak olav shum torach yuvi elamitzad pulosov. And you can never justify any description, any necessary description, except in terms of his actions. Okay, and that's why we call God the cause, or the creator. Those are all in reference to his creations, to his actions. Okay, now he says like this, and then we say Rachem v'Chanan. He's manig kol hanimtzos umarachim v'chonin aleim al tzad chesed v'chemla v'chanina. Okay, so that's his that's how he starts out, and he says like this. I'm gonna skip around it. He says like this. And he says, "Vizesh Amar Rabosenu in Brachos says Hakel Hagadol Agiva Anora Afal Pisha Amar Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom Lo Yinu Matirim Atzmenu Lehispalol Bahem." So he says, even though Moshe said Hakel Hagadol Agiva Anora, right? He says, still we would not be able to use them. We wouldn't really be able to use them because it sounds like descriptions of God's essence. Says liosam domim shein ta'orim mitzad atzmo velo mitzad pulosov. Because if you say we wouldn't, that's what the Gemara says. It'd be a problem. It'd be a problem to use them. It would be a problem to use them. Because you say Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vanora, that's not referring to an action. That's just referring to God. So it gives the impression that we're describing God's essence. What is God? So he says, the Gemara says it's not so pasha that you can even say those. Okay. Ad shebo anshe knesset gedola ubeiru sha'af elu heim ta'ora mitzad hadrochem shumanik b'hem briyosav. Until anshe knesset gedola, this is the Gemara I was referring to yesterday. Until anshe knesset gedola came along and said, these are permissible because you have to interpret them not in reference to God's essence, but in reference to how God is manig the world. Okay. So they say, Zuhi Gvuroso. What is this Gvura? Shenosein Erech HaPayim L'Ove Ritzono. What do we mean by Gvura? We mean that he gives a long time for people to come back to Tshuva. Vizuhi No Roso. What's his awesomeness? She Ilmole No Roso of Heach Uma Yechid Yechol L'Skayim Bein HaUmos. Not for his awesomeness, how would this little nation, how would this singular nation be able to exist all this time? So in other words, they had to find, what Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did was they found ways of understanding these terms in reference to God's actions. Okay? Because of the idea that you can't ever ascribe anything positively to God's, in terms of God's essence.
Does this listed somewhere?
This is a Gemara in Yuma. What? That Gemara?
Yeah.
It's Yuma's Samach Tesla.
Why was
the Gemara I was talking about yesterday?
Why was it necessary for them to come up with specific references? In other words, why couldn't it just be that these...
Because that's what I was telling you, that Daniel and Yirmiyahu had problems with it. They had, that's what they were called on. That's the question. Why were they called Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? Because they were able to reinstate this thing that Moshe said. And then Gemara says, oh, Moshe said it, why didn't they say it? That's the whole Shach of Darabia. But he's saying you have to understand these things in the proper way. Otherwise, it's not really right to say them. If you say Gadol, and you think in terms of God's essence, that there's an idea of Gadol in God's essence, then you shouldn't say it. He's saying, then you shouldn't say it. And that's what they were troubled with. They said, where is God's Gedula in the world, right? That's why Daniel and Yirmiyahu were afraid, they didn't want to say it. They say, where is the Gedula? Where is the Godless of Hashem? Where is the Maisa Hashem of Gedula that we were saying? And if you're not going to find it, then it sounds like you're saying it in terms of God's essence. And that you can't do.
Don't you always have recourse to the existence of the Bria and the Chachma of the Bria? Like, why?
No, that's not called Gedulaso. Yeah.
Right. In other words, they showed what specifically is the matter to use these words.
Yes, right.
They showed...
Apparently, Gedulaso and the Rosso doesn't refer to Maisa Bereishis. I mean, that's what they understand here.
Uh-huh. That's the premise. Thing.
That's the premise. Yeah, that's the way they understand it. So now he says like this, right? You see, understand? You understand what I'm saying, Johnny? Okay. So he says, but there are names that you can't interpret in any way with regard to God's actions, like Echad, Kadmon and Emes. Okay, those you can't say that they refer in some way to Maisei Hashem. So he says that class has to be pure negation. So you can say Gadol, Gibor, Venora, you can say those terms, although they're not describing an action per se, you can understand them in terms of Maisei Hashem. But certain terms you can't. And those terms, he says, those are the ones that you must, that the Ram holds, must be negations.
So, but you're still allowed to say them?
Oh, so that's what he says. So he says, those you're not allowed to say. Those you're not allowed to say without a specific matir. And that's why in the Gemara and Brachos, when the person was saying all of those praises, so he says, that's why they shut him up.
Were those praises though about actions?
No, those are Racham Vachanan. He says, those were things that sound like describing God.
No,
so he says, he's trying to break it up. He breaks it up into three classes. He says there are things that are purely describing God's actions. And I can't find it right now, but I remember he said those are not a problem to say. Those are never a problem to say. Then there are things that can only refer to God's essence, and we have to treat them as negations, and you can't say those without a specific matir. And then there is the ones like Chanan Varachum, or then there are those that are... that could be taken as an as
they sound, like
they sound like describing God's essence, right?
And you, but you also need a specific.
And those you also need them, yeah. So he says, so he says like this. Yeah. Yeah, where is that? What is that? What were the things he was saying in the Gemara? Good question. But I think the Ram, I think he says that those were they're not in terms of Maisei Hashem. Although later on he says Racham V'Chanan is clear that it's in terms of God's actions. Mm-hmm. But he was saying he was praying. He says, what was the problem over there?
Yeah.
So he says any type of description that you want to say about God in terms of mitzad atzmo, because that's what he was doing over there. So he says that's a gnus. Because he says any type of description that you give he says like this. Bavoze Yomar Rav Shekola to Aram She Yeshubach O Yesoar Bahem Hu Yisparach She'ena Mitzad Hu Losov Roya She Yuvnu Sholem. Anything that's not in terms of God's actions should be understood in terms of a negation. Lo chiyuvim b'shum tzad, not necessary attributes. K'moshe b'yanu perkasir mizah ma'ira. Ubavor zeh roi lanu shenishtok milasara oso me'atzmeina b'shum tzad. Therefore, we should refrain from giving any of these descriptions. Ela mashen nimtzo lemoshe rabbeinu olav shalom ola neviim sheyaso aru b'hem. So we only have a right to use those that Moshe used or that the neviim used. Ve'af heim roi she'novin she'omnom omrum chiyuvim al tzad ha'archova ha'lashonos u'kidei l'shakech es ha'ozen aval al derech ha'emes roi she'yuvnu sholem. And even those, like Racham v'chanan, Gadol Gibor v'Norah, we should know they were only saying them because that's the only way we can speak. We can't speak. We have to use like a homonym, Rambam explains, Rambam calls it. We have to use words that are known to us and relate to an idea that we have, but you have to understand that they don't truly relate to God in the same way that we understand them.
Meaning knowing that they're about actions isn't enough, but you also have to know that actions are in a completely different manner.
Right. So I was thinking like this. That maybe that's the idea over here. There's all the brachos in the middle, the bakashos, they're clearly each one ends with a shevach about Maisei Hashem, right? About God's actions. First three brachos are different, but the middle brachos, we don't have to find a matir for Ata Chonin Ados, and we don't have to find a matir for all those things. But
why not?
Because they're describing God's actions. There's no mistake. There's no danger of making a mistake that you're talking about God's essence, right? And we know that God is a Rofe Cholei Yisrael. It's not a problem, not a philosophical error of saying Gadol Gibor V'Norah, because you're not trying to ascribe anything to God's essence, right? You're just saying this is an action. We know that this is something. This is one of Maisei Hashem, right? Yeah. But like the Kesef Mishnah mentioned over there, HaMelech HaMishpat is different. It does seem like a different type of that is a different description. That is saying that, and I think that's what the two Hays are. The two Hays are saying, like I said the other day, it's HaMelech HaMishpat. It's both. Either one, really. It's either or. You could say he is the Mishpat. He is the Melech and he is the Mishpat. Neither one is subjective. Neither one is in the sentence. It's a sentence that has two predicates. You know what I mean? Not like a major, not like a predicate and an adjective. Right? You understand what I mean? You can have
it's
a sentence,
like,
you can say...
It's not like Hakel, like one is describing the other piece.
Well, that is similar. Hakel, HaKadosh. It is similar. I would say if you were talking about a man, you could say the tall man. So so man is the we can say he is a fast runner. So runner is what you're describing about him, and fast is describing runner, right? It's not saying that over here. I'm not saying if you would say melech hamishpat, so you'd say he is the melech, and what kind of a melech? A melech of justice. You understand? Huh? So it would be essentially you're saying melech. And then you're qualifying what kind of a melech. But you say, ha melech, ha mishpat. They're both, it's almost, didn't we do a gemara like this in the end of the year? If you say tos, you have two words at the end of a phrase, and they could each, both, either one could complete the sentence on its own.
Two standalone qualities.
Two standalone, right, correct. So you're trying to show that these two ideas of ha melech and ha mishpat really are one. They really are one.
Didn't the Torah, when he quotes Rashi, doesn't say Hamelech al Hamishpat or something?
That was a pirush he was giving. That was a pirush from the Machzor Vitri. But
that kind of.
I'm going with the Ritva over here. Okay. The Ritva says the Lashon is Meshubash, but there's a Sod over here.
So the Lashon Hamelech alone wouldn't be a problem, even though it's describing God's essence as a Melech.
We're not doing Hamelech now. Doing Hamelech. Hamelech HaMishpat. The bracha is Mishpat. Has to be Mishpat over here. Now, normally we're saying like this. Normally you're not allowed. You wouldn't be allowed to be Chosem with words that are indicating something about God's essence. Because that's the whole problem over here. That's the whole problem that he starts off with. But I think that what we're saying over here is that since during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the idea of God as the Shofet, that is almost like it's the only Maaseh Hashem that's the Maaseh Hashem that we're most focused on. And in that sense, that's the way we relate to God during this time. And that's right. That's the right way to relate to God during this time. And because of that, because of this time and the focus of how we relate to him, they changed the Lashon of the Bracha to indicate not just Mishpat as a Maisa, but Mishpat even as a description of, I mean, in these senses, in the sense that we're allowed to understand them, a description of God. HaMelech HaMishpat. You wouldn't be allowed to do this normally, except for the fact that like Rashi says, he's Mara Malchuso, Mishpat is Olam. Yeah.
What does that mean that he is the Mishpat? I don't understand.
It means to say, like he says over here. He says he says what is, for instance, says use the word Baruch. Mm-hmm. Right? What does Baruch mean? It means the source of all bracha. Or we say, he says, like we say, God is a chacham. Chachma we attribute, we say. But it doesn't mean that God acquired chachma, it means the source of all chachma. Right?
So talking about mishpat in reference to God as an action, that would just be saying, so that's not commenting on, oh, I see, that's not meaning that could be making recourse to another type of mishpat that's not from God theoretically, like when, meaning when I say that a person has, does mishpat, right? That's not saying that mishpat stems from the person. I'm just saying that they act in line with mishpat or they promote mishpat or something. Right?
Well, what I'm saying, right? I mean, what I'm saying is that the expression, that's all you're allowed to say normally during the year. All you can say is we can't give other shvachos. We don't make up these other shvachos. Because it's a dangerous thing to start. It gives to give the impression of of ascribing God's of describing God's essence. So we can only do it. We only do it during this week, because everybody knows it's only the context of this week that we're changing it and that we're saying this, and that we're and because that is the predominant Maisa Hashem that we're focused on, and we want to now we can give the description without the danger of the mistake.
Another matir.
Now we have a matir, because we're not really, it's not because we're not really